Welcome back. Episode 8, I believe. Something like that. I know we skipped a week or two. Because I was sleepy in school.
It's the newest episode.
It is the newest episode. I cannot believe we are here. There are teams that have one game left, and there are teams that have two games left. And that be it.
I can't believe it. I was just looking at, there was a picture that USD had up on the women's basketball team for their Unite for USD thing. And it was a picture against St. Louis. I'm like, God, I remember when the week before we were like, oh, the WNIT champs are coming to Vermillion. It'll be a great way to kick off the year. And now we're a week away from the Summit League tournament.
Yeah. I don't know how this happens. I will tell you, I'm very excited. One, because Summit League tournament, duh. Mm-hmm. Two, I have not been back to South Dakota in a year. Because the last time I was back was the Summit League tournament. And I was only home. I flew in on it started on a Friday last year, right?
Yeah.
Or a Thursday, something like that. I don't know. So I flew in on whatever the day before was. Went to Mitchell for like 5 hours. Saw my grandparents, had dinner with my parents, and then I drove back to Sioux Falls, and I was in Sioux Falls the whole time. So I'm flying in earlier this time so I can chill on my parents' couch for 3 days, eat all their food. You know how it goes when you come home.
Well, it'll be fun to see you in a week.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited. I had the schedule up and the website just like switched to a different page. Okay, let's go back to last week. Thursday, February 20th, which seems like it was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
First game, Kansas City 91, St. Thomas 82. For the Tommies on the losing end, Sammy Opichka had 23 points, Joe Langbin 21, and Amber Scalia with 18. I'm telling you guys, be scared of St. Thomas in the Summit League tournament. Like, be so afraid.
Be afraid.
I really think they might surprise some people. For Kansas City, 22 points apiece for Elena Contreras and Zaire Harrell. Zaire also had 9 rebounds, just shy of that double-double. 19 points for Imani Bennett and 16 points for Alani Bennett. So 4 people in double figures for the Ruse. The Ruse out-rebounded the Tommies 43-26.
Ooh.
So that definitely was a factor in that scenario. Next game was Omaha USD, Omaha 71, USD 57. For the Yotes, Alexi Hempe had 20 points, Grace Larkins with 13.7 boards, and Carly Duffney with 9. 25 rebounds for the Yotes, 11 turnovers. 7 steals, that's pretty good. For the Mavericks, Jay Harvey with 30 holy buckets.
Yeah.
I missed this game.
She was the difference in the game. USD did not have an answer for her.
Good God. 34 points, 6 rebounds. Grace Cave with 20 points and 3 rebounds. How about Aaliyah Moore with 19 rebounds?
That's it? That's incredible.
Yeah, 42 boards total for Omaha. Not a whole lot of other significant stuff. 15 points off turnovers for them and only 5 for USD. So I'm sure that was part of it too. But Omaha had 13 turnovers, which is actually more than USD had. So USD just didn't capitalize on the turnovers as much. And 9 steals for Omaha. So what's 9 and 7? 16? 16 steals in the game?
Only 8 fouls on Omaha too. 2 players had 3. USD had 14. Pretty, they let them play from the looks of it. Nice flow.
You want to take ORU North Dakota?
Yes, I do. Let me get that score pulled up here. So, yeah, last Thursday, ORU defeated North Dakota 83-80. And as soon as this page loads, I'll get you some stats here. So, UND was led by Jocelyn Schiller and Kira Pemberton with 21 points apiece. Kira added 10 boards to that. Who else here? Neve Ferreira Horn had 14 points. Looks like she fouled out. UND had a lot of foul trouble this game.
Mm-hmm.
Pemberton 4, Neve 5, Ibrahim 4, Michaela Almer 4. Oof. I would imagine that had a role in it. But what a great – that's a great win for ORU. Very – what's the standings here? Let me pull that up here. Yeah, solidifying their spot in the two seed. So for ORU, they were led by Emily Robinson with 23 points. Next up, Jalay Oglesby off the bench had 19 and 4. And she saw 33 minutes of action. She ended up fouling out. Let's see what else here. Talia Jones, 10.7 boards. Ruthie, 11 and 5. Makira Tramble, 12 and 6. ORU shot 45% from the field, 7 to 16 from beyond the arc. UND, 9 to 25 beyond the arc. So I'm trying to see what else here. Bench points, 21 to 9 in favor of ORU. And that's pretty much it. Just a good solid win for ORU. A great game from the looks of it too. 1,500 in attendance down in Tulsa.
I really thought UND had that game won. I really did. And they just kind of broke down at the end. I also think it's worth noting 24 points off turnovers for the Golden Eagles. 23 turnovers for UND.
Oofta.
That's a lot of turnovers.
Yeah.
What's next? Sorry, guys. I'm in a brain fog.
I got you. Denver, North Dakota State out in Denver. NDSU defeated the Pioneers 64 to 59. NDSU held Denver to just 9 points in the third quarter in this game. So let's see here. Abby Draper had a marvelous game. 28 points, 14 rebounds, a couple of blocks, a couple of assists, shot 9 of 16 from the field, 9 of 11 at the line. Otherwise, that was pretty much it. Otherwise, there was a lot of folks in mid to upper single digit scoring for NDSU. So Abby had 28 of the 64. NDSU team total had 44 rebounds compared to Denver's 32. Denver had a few in double figures. Jordan Jones was 16 and 6, adding 3 assists, 3 steals. Angelina, is it Robles? I always ask
Robles.
That. Robles, okay. 13 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, a couple steals there. And then Corinne Watts with 11 points. Denver shot 32.8%. NDSU a little better, NDSU a little better with 41%. Otherwise, points in the paint, NDSU 40 to Denver's 22. I really like, I know they're young, but NDSU is going to be a tough draw.
Oh, yeah.
Very tough draw.
Absolutely. What Jory's done up there is insane.
Yeah. They're sitting. I don't know what the tiebreaker is between them and St. Thomas, but I would imagine NDSU is going to finish in that 3 spot. And that NDSU Oral Roberts game potentially in the semis is going to be fun. Let's just say that. But we got another week to preview the tournament. I'm going to get ahead of myself because I like doing that.
All right, moving to Saturday, ORU 100, NDSU 84. For NDSU, Avery Coonan, 20 points, 12 rebounds for a double-double. Molly Lenz had 16 points, as did Claire Stern have 16 points. And then 12 for Abby Graham. It took me a minute to scroll. Talia Jones led the way with 28 points. Oh, I lied. Talia Jones and Jalay Oglesby had 28 apiece. which makes sense why they got to that 100-point mark. 14 points for Ruthie Udomo, 12 apiece for Emily Robinson and Megan Weinrich, and 7 boards for, looks like that's Megan Weinrich. 29 rebounds. Oh, actually, sorry. No, you're good. NDSU out-rebounded ORU 31-29, but.
Did they really?
That's pretty even though it was a little bit more. 17 steals for ORU. That'll do it.
Yeah.
I'm not looking. I'm going to guess that at least 5 of those were Jaylee Oglesby. And now I'm going to scroll back down to the steals. Wow, I'd be wrong. Jaylee Oglesby had 1. Makira Tramble had 6 of those steals.
Nice.
And 4 for Ruthie Udomo.
I don't want to see ORU in the tournament. They are so... They're a matchup nightmare. They're so good. They're scrappy in a good way. Like, they're just such a well-coached, tough team. Like, if you are asleep come tournament time, they're going to run all over you.
Not to mention, I feel like they have, I wouldn't say as many, but, like, what I've said about SDSU in the group chat, where it's like, oh, you think you found the shooter? Well, there's 5 more. Mm-hmm. ORU has Gentry Baldwin, who last year I felt like was doing a little more than she's doing this year. Doesn't mean she's incapable. They just have enough people.
Yeah.
That if someone else is having a bad day, here comes Gentry Baldwin, or here comes Makira Tramble, or here comes whoever. It's just not possible to shut them down. It's just not.
No. If you they're a menace. In a good way, of course. I can't wait to watch them in the tournament.
I know I say this like every year for the past 3 years. I was sad when Coach Misty was no longer Coach Misty just because I liked her. But I mean, it's, and I understand that Kelsey brought stuff with her, but it's incredible what she's done there. Like they, when Misty was let go, the AD or whoever put out a statement that said, we want to go in a different direction. This is a different direction. Like they've certainly, I think, accomplished or come close to accomplishing what they set out to do. So good for them.
Well, and if it wasn't for, anytime you go undefeated in the league, unless it's ridiculous circumstance, like that's your coach of the year. But, I mean, she's right up there with, she'd be mine if there wasn't an undefeated SDSU team, right?
Yeah.
What she did with ORU, I mean, it's been incredible.
I agree. I think, that stuff we got to talk about too, what we think about Coach of the Year. I mean, and I know it sounds so bad because I went to SDSU, so it like sounds biased, but I do go back and forth. Like, do we want to reward something different or something that people were expected to do? I don't know that I agree with people expecting SDSU to go undefeated. And maybe that's me taking my blue and yellow glasses so far off that I'm like going the opposite direction, but I thought we were going to have a loss or two.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, you're 100% right though, because it's still 8 true road games you have to do.
Absolutely.
Like like what they're doing, and I, like, as a USD fan, what they're doing during this stretch right now is incredible. It's remarkable. This winning streak that they're on in the regular season. And I don't even know the numbers. If you take away losses to USD, you know, a few years ago or whatever, like how many of those, if you take the winning streak and go back further past the losses, how many of those besides are to teams outside of USD?
So actually you, I know you weren't in the interview with Coach Woods, but that's going to come up here in a little bit. Dosha told me that she goes, you do your research, I do mine too. The last team to beat SDSU in the regular season was Denver. The year before Dosha got hired. Yep. It was 2020, the end of the COVID season.
All right.
Yeah. So not to make your point moot, but it actually was Denver.
I'm all for it.
Me too. And I shouldn't get ahead of myself. There are still two games left. SDSU has Denver, which is why that was brought up, because they play Denver. when will this come out? This will come out today. So they play Denver tomorrow and St. Thomas on Saturday. Listen, one or both of those could be a trap game. Those are two teams that when they come out, I don't know what's going to happen. I know you disagree because SDSU has been so dominant, and that's fine. Like, do I think SDSU is going to win? Yes. Do I think SDSU is going to steamroll both of these teams? No. One maybe, but no.
I don't know about steamroll, but I mean, if they hadn't had more than half their what seems like more than half their games where they're either down after the first quarter or down at halftime, and then they come in just completely erase that. And if they hadn't done that, I'd be like, yeah, you never know. You know, if you're down by 10 at halftime to St. Thomas, they can make that up in 2 minutes.
That's the thing I struggle with, because I think the key, if there is one, to beating SDSU this season is coming out with a hot start. Like, you have to suppress, like, muzzle them early, like a lot of these teams have done. But is that going to be enough? Because whatever AJ's freaking happy juice is at halftime in the locker room, like, it always works, whatever he says.
Hey, listen, I told you this before, and I know I'm in the minority in thinking this. I actually liked Coach Amy's approach to the game, where you take away one of the Myers, and one of them's either going to be a hero or law of averages, and she's going to miss. It didn't work out. I liked the approach, but because what do you have to lose at that point?
Absolutely. And I think when you're watching, these coaches are looking at other coaches' approaches to SDSU. Absolutely. I think you got to try something someone hasn't tried before, or try something someone has tried and do it different or better. I don't have a problem with that. And I think, especially if you're a team like Denver, who's locked into the 9 seed, do whatever the heck you feel like doing. Do whatever the heck you think is going to work. Make 25 adjustments during the game. Make one. Like, what do you have to lose at that point?
And last thing too, sorry, and we'll get back on track, but that's what the first round of the Summit League tournament is too. Those 8, 9, sometimes even 7, we've seen it on the men's and women's side. They throw stuff at you that you've not seen before, and it catches you off guard, and you're just like, what the hell? What is this? And that's how we get upsets.
I remember the first, it had to be the first time that Kelsey Music coached in the Summit League tournament. And I don't remember if they'd been full court pressing that year or not. I think they had maybe a little here and there, but like nobody thought they were going to come out in the Summit League tournament and full court press for 40 minutes. And they did. And I was like, what is happening? And they were good at it too. I was like, what is going on? Like, just, yeah, you never know what's going to happen in Sioux Falls. All right. Also on Saturday, St. Thomas 66, South Dakota 57. For the Yotes, Grace Larkins, 21 points, 8 boards. Gabby Wilkie with 14 points and 6 boards. And then Alexi Hemby with 8 boards. 35 rebounds for the Yotes, 16 fouls, 11 turnovers, 3 blocks, 5 steals. For St. Thomas, 22 points for Jade Hill, 18 points for Joe Langbin, and 12 points for Amber Scalia with 13 rebounds, so a double-double for Amber there. 36 boards for the Toms, 12 fouls, 11 turnovers, 5 blocks, 6 steals. That game, which you'll hear us talk about in our interview with Coach Amy in a little bit, that game was very close right up until the last 90 seconds, 60 seconds, but even then there was still a chance for USD.
I don't know the actual time in the fourth quarter, but there was a lot, like, I'm fairly certain USD was shooting 0% from the field until about 2 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It's a great win for St. Thomas. USD went 6 of 29 in the second half for field goals, including 1 of 12. They shot the game away.
Yeah.
Great looks, as we'll talk about with Coach. They were really good looks, but the legs weren't there. and they were short on shots.
And meanwhile, on the other hand, St. Thomas is skippity-doo dying down the lane and doing flips and shit. I mean, some of those baskets, I was like, that's not going in. Like, there's no, like, and it did. And it was really just one of those, the end of one of those games where one team is having all the luck in the world. And not to discredit St. Thomas, they were absolutely
not. Nope.
But some of those went up and somehow went in. And on the other hand, USD could do everything right and couldn't buy a bucket those last 2 minutes. So, yeah. All right, let's move on before Jordan gets too sad.
It's such a frustrating game to watch as a USD fan. All right, so Kansas City, SDSU, really a solid game for SDSU, a solid road win especially. So they won 80-60 down in Kansas City. Brooklyn Meyer had a dominating game, 34 points, 5 rebounds on 13 of 16 from the field. Haley Timmer added 16 and 5, and then Paige Meyer with 16 and 5. Kansas City, Elena Contreras led the way there, 24 points on 8 of 19 shooting, and then Imani Bennett, 14 points, 4 rebounds. Kansas City shot 20-48, that's almost 42%. And then SDSU shot 30 of 61 for 49%. And they shot 6 of 26 from three-point land for 23%. We don't have to get too far into this, but one observation I do have about SDSU, and maybe the stats don't back me up, the games I've watched, they don't overall have like that super confident three-point shooting of years past that we've seen from SDSU. Like if it's an open shot, everyone in the gym that's not affiliated with SDSU is like, that's going in. This year, it hasn't quite been like that, but you've got the best post player in the league in Brooklyn, who's just been dominating down there. But the 3-point, it's just always so odd. We're just so used to them shooting threes so well. And again, maybe the stats don't back it up, the point I'm trying to make, but it just seems like the 3-point shot hasn't quite been as reliable for them.
I am going to have to investigate that. I'm trying to get AJ on the show next week. And if we can, I'm going to investigate that and see if I can get a question out of that. Because if that's the case, I would love to hear his perspective on that.
Yeah.
All right. Last game, UND 73, Denver 68. Another close one for Denver that we wish they could have won. And another close one for UND that they almost lost. For the Hawks, Kira Pemberton, 21.7 boards. Fatima Ibrahim with a double-double, 15 points, 14 boards. Jossie Schiller with 12 points and 7 boards. And then Nevaeh Ferreira-Horn with 10 points. For Denver, Angie Robles led the way with 21 points. Jordan Jones, 15 points and 8 boards. And then 9 points for Emma Smith. Trying to see 16 points off turnovers for Denver, 13 points off turnovers for UND. UND out points in the paint at Denver by a lot. 46 points down low for UND and 24 for Denver.
Did you just create a phrase, outpointed in the paint?
Did I say outpointed in the paint or outpointed in the painted? Outpointed. I'm sleep deprived at this point. Like, oh gosh. Okay. Let's take a little pause. We're going to drop in both interviews for you. You're going to hear from Denver's Dosha Woods first, and then USD's Carrie Amy second. And then after that, we'll be back with a hopefully quick, but I'm not going to make any promises, preview of what's coming up this weekend. And I'm sure we'll end up talking about the tournament a little bit, even though we're supposed to wait until next week for that. So we'll be right back. Hey, basketball fans, welcome back. We're back with another Summit League coach, and this time it is Denver Pioneers head coach Dosha Woods. Coach, thanks for being here. I'm glad you're still putting up with our shenanigans.
Always. You know me. I'm not going to run and disappear. I was waiting for my invite, so thanks for squeezing me into your busy schedule.
Waiting for your invite.
I was waiting. I was looking at my phone like, okay, maybe this week, and then, oh, last week you said, let me go ahead and get her on for.
I try to do them in a different order every year, but sometimes somehow it always ends up being the same just because of like scheduling or whatever. But
that makes sense. Makes sense. Well, thank you for the invite.
Of course. The season obviously has not gone how you'd hope. You're in the bottom third of the league in defense. You know, I do my research. What do you think that you need to do to be more defensively sound?
You know, the crazy part is, yes, we are in the bottom third defensively, but we're actually a few points better this year than what we were last year. You know, one of our core values is making progress. And I feel like we've done that. Obviously, you want it to be reflected, you know, and who we're competing against this year, but for where we were last year, been a couple points better. I think we've struggled a little bit coming into conference play, and we've tweaked some things coming down the stretch. I think whether it's man zone, our players have been really receptive to some different adjustments. So I say a lot to say, it doesn't matter what it's in. We also need to find a way to rebound the ball a little bit better. And that's something that we struggle with. But I definitely like, you know, we're starting basically three freshmen in terms of our bigs. We're rotating three freshmen in our bigs. And so, you know, they have the opportunity to kind of learn in the fire, if you will, because we need them to play. They're all, you know, 6'3". So I'm proud of the progress that they've made. And trust me, there's a lot of film that we can do and clean up. But, you know, for us to continue making adjustments, we have to figure out a way to kind of get people one and done and rebound the ball a little bit better.
Absolutely. Well, the opposite of defense is offense. You're also in the bottom third there. Then on the other side.
Well, yeah. I mean, that also explains why we're in the bottom of the conference standings right now, too. I think, again, a lot of the progress that we've made isn't reflected in terms of our wins and losses. I think it might be 12, 13 games that are 5 points or less in terms of how we're competing. So a shot here, a rebound there, a stop there. It's kind of been like the story, especially once conference has started, the story of our season. And I think for us, you know, obviously there's still basketball left to play. We're fortunate that, you know, the first year I was in here in the conference tournament was set up, the bracket was a little different, right? And we wouldn't even be talking about the opportunity to still go and upset and, you know, kind of be that Cinderella team in March, but we still have the opportunity to do that. So though the numbers reflect us being at the bottom, other than South Dakota State, who has really just dominated for the last 3 years, we feel like we can compete with anybody. And obviously regular season, some of those games the ball didn't bounce the way that we wanted to. But I'm confident in, I wouldn't want to face our team because it's like, what, a 2-point win for you, a 3-point win that the ball could go either way. I still trust what we have and trust our ability to make plays. And our record's not going to be, if we were guided by a record, we wouldn't go up to South Dakota this week. We might as well stay at home. So I like the resilience and competitiveness that we continue to show up with, that we continue to compete with. And you know, again, being in one or two possessions here, we're capable of making those shots, and I'd hate to face us.
Yeah, absolutely worth noting that a lot of those losses have been 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, we're not getting mollywop. You know, I mean, yeah, it's like it shows up as a loss of 1 point or 30 points, but we're in a lot of these games, and I think we might be one of the most confident teams who's at the bottom in a sense of literally we feel like probably 4 possessions away from being in the middle of the pack. And that's just how the season has gone for us.
Absolutely. One more kind of sad question, and then we'll move on to better
stuff. Yeah, this isn't sad. We get to.
Well, so the 1-point loss to ORU was sad for me, and I can't imagine it was happy for you. So I want to talk about that. You said after the game publicly that that was on you. So I'm just curious what you feel like you could have done differently or drawn up differently to maybe make that a different result.
I wish it would have got us a cleaner look. To finish the game, I had a set that we ran against UMKC at their place to go in overtime. And I wish I would have stuck with my gut and just ran that. I thought, honestly, the set that I drew up at the end, I didn't love it as much. And I thought the other one would be scouted. And so it was just really just honestly doing too much in that last minute for us to lead for 39 plus minutes of the game. And that's why I say, you know, you say it's like a sad question. And, you know, we're in this situation and everybody can look to some ownership, right? Of that's what me and that's I'm the first one to do so, right? I felt like I called a good game and I didn't that possession. I didn't that possession, and I thought our players played well, especially out of the gate. Really dominated from start to finish. And you look at a team like Oral Roberts that's you know, has already clinched second place already. Well, you know, we lead them for 39 minutes. If you look at both games against them, we led more than we didn't, right? I think the game at home, I think we led for about 33 minutes. And then obviously they kind of came, so they got us a good 10 minutes. Obviously the most important time. But yeah, that's what that moment was, is just me taking ownership. I didn't love the set and I didn't love the look that we got. So if I had a chance to do it again, I definitely run something different. That's what that tweet was about.
You do have some bright spots. I think your junior class is a huge bright spot that came in as freshmen, and they've been getting better every season. Talk to me about Emma, Jordan, and Angie and what they've done for you this season and just kind of the growth you've seen in them.
Yeah, you know, I think they've had, you know, the growth from their freshman year to now, you know, all three different experiences. So they've all been here the same, you know. Aunt is one, it's what we call Angie. Aunt is one where the first game of her freshman year, she didn't play at all. And to watch her just kind of come in and compete and battle, I know sometimes her height can be deceptive. She's really done a great job of expanding her game this year, adding the three ball that was kind of, you know, something that she needed to work on in the past. And she's made herself respectable from the 3-point range. It's always going to kind of compete as well defensively. I think Joe spent most of her freshman year, especially conference play, hurt, where no one really knew who she was in the league. We knew what we were getting. And I think this year, having a healthy Joe, I've really shown what she's capable of. She's played positions 1 through 5 for us, can score a lot of different ways. She's a matchup problem. And, you know, she at just already leading, it's top in the country in terms of like free throws against the basket. And we literally have a package for if we need to put her at the point, if we need to put her on the block, a lot of different ways we can get her the touches. And I think her versatility, that's what she's been able to show in her way to her ability to score the ball and rebound for us. I think with Emma, you know, the first 2 years she spent off the ball. This year she was more at the point guard spot. Our positive assist turnover ratio on our team has done a much better job of being a playmaker and finding that open. And I know, you know, collectively they're frustrated in terms of our win-loss record, but I think a lot of the growth in their game, you know, I'm excited. Even these, you know, we have, what, 3 games left that are guaranteed down the stretch. Excited to kind of continue to see their growth and continue to see them grow. But each of them were in positions differently this year than they've been in the past, and that has taken them some time to get adjusted to. But I'm excited. I'm excited to have a core back that we can continue to build on.
Absolutely. All right, 2 games left in the regular season, and those are the Dakotas. What's kind of the message?
South Dakotas, going? You got to specify.
Oh, there's yeah, I do have to.
Yeah.
You got me good there.
You're supposed to know that. You can't be walking them all in together.
I know.
Yeah. The message is we still have games to play. We still have an opportunity, and, you know, AJ has done a phenomenal job at South Dakota State, right? It's no secret. We know it. We know it's going to be a tall task, but we'll be up for it. We've had one lopsided kind of outcome, and it was against them. So we're going to do a few things differently this time. I'm going up there, but we're excited for the challenge. I don't think UConn, and that's part of what makes college basketball so exciting as we get close to March, and March Madness so exciting, is to see those upsets. And, you know, for us, we just really have an upset-minded type of demeanor that we're taking to South Dakota, to South Dakota State, and really just come in there and compete. You know, it's probably going to be a game where we'll talk about, you know, one media timeout at a time. You can't think of them as like a whole 40-minute. Let's see what we can do this media timeout and try to shorten the game for our players that way. But it's why we love competition. It's why we love March. And to be that team that, you know, first time in 3 years to kind of knock them out. I was looking, and you said you did your research. I did my research. Fun fact, Denver is the last team South Dakota State lost to other than South Dakota, right? South Dakota had that run, especially in my early years here, and they went to Sweet 16. But the last team not named South Dakota in regular season They got upset by Omaha in tournament. So, but in regular season play, Denver was the last team that South Dakota State lost to, not named South Dakota. Fun fact. But we'll be ready.
Were you here then?
I was not.
The season before. I must have been the season right before.
Yes, it was. It was the 2020. It was the end of the 2020 season.
Okay.
So it was that. And it was here at DU. Yeah. So I've been doing my research.
All right, I see you. I see you.
And then obviously with South Dakota, you know, Grace Larkins is a phenomenal player. I think that the career that she's had at South Dakota, you know, they're similar to us where our records aren't necessarily what we want them to be, a reflective of the type of like progress. I know for them, it's, and for Grace to have yet a different type, you know, head coach and a different style that she's playing, and for her to be just as effective. She is literally the, you know, the head to tell everything that makes them go. And when we played them the first time here, I told her, I said, Grace, I can't wait to see you go. I'm going to get you a senior day gift, something. Like, she really has just done a phenomenal job of impacting the game a lot of different ways. A lot of respect for her game and the way that she gets her teammates involved. Carrie, I know her team's going to be ready to play and defend. Carrie and I actually played for the same head coach in college. I played for him at a junior college and she played for him at Hastings. So that's kind of our tie to each other. But I'm excited for both these. I'm not excited to go to South Dakota, come home and go right back up there. I'm going to say that. And I will definitely be saying that to the necessary people as well. That's not, you know, to have to travel up there and kind of have the awkward kind of couple days in between and have to go right back up there. You know, definitely not making excuses, but we're not doing ourselves. Everybody's tired this time of season, right? Everybody's tired and everybody's got to find a way to grind. But the fact that the conference tournament's up there and they get to sit comfortably at home, this is me voicing my opinion about that, and I'll voice it to the necessary people as well. But either way it goes, you got to play everybody. One thing I am excited about, though, playing South Dakota State is you can't prepare your team to make a run or upset people. And it's, we hadn't played them since December. So let's see what adjustments they've made. So if we're going to beat them and we got to play everybody, we're capable of beating them. We need to see how they've adjusted as well. So we might as well see them now. And we just need to beat them one time. Preferably in March. So, you know, with me, you're not going to find somebody holding their head and sitting there crying over spilled milk. We are in the situation. There's a lot of ways to look, and starting first with myself, right? Starting at the top, things I can and will do differently, starting down a stretch and obviously having a bigger, deeper dive into some areas where we could clean up in the off season.
Yeah, a lot of good points there. I actually never thought about that. I would not be opposed to the South Dakotas going on the road the last week of the season.
You know, we're not getting any favors down the stretch.
But the fact that what gets me is it's the hardest trip for you guys, no question. And maybe ORU, I don't know. I mean, you guys are definitely flying. I don't know if ORU would fly or bus that, but it's still pretty far to Tulsa. But if somebody has to travel, why is it not NDSU or somebody closer that like that it's not that big of a deal to make a 3-hour road trip? Yeah, that's an interesting point. Last question for you. It's looking pretty likely. I think there might be one scenario where you get USD instead of Omaha in the tournament, but it's probably going to be Omaha. And that's a team that looks a little bit different this year, but a team you still know very well and have played in the tournament several times. What are you, I don't want to ask what's the message, I guess, but what's kind of going through your mind thinking about that matchup?
For Omaha?
Yeah.
Girl, we got to get through South Dakota State and South Dakota.
I knew you were going to be
there. Yeah, you're right. Trying to get me to take some bait. So, Carrie, if you're listening to this, girl, if we play each other, I can't think that far ahead. I got to think about practice tomorrow, South Dakota State on Thursday. But look, at this point, once you get to conference play, especially in the Summit League, a couple of things. We are fortunate that we have the opportunity. I keep saying that, you know, I recognize if this was my first year here and if you finished, you know, last, you didn't go at all. So to have the opportunity to still go and compete, we play everybody twice. So there's really not a ton of surprises, right? There's people that know they're going to be playing a lot more basketball after, you know, Sioux Falls. And there's some of us that like, we need to, you know, come and upset somebody, come upset someone's bracket. So whoever that is, whether it's, you know, honestly, anybody that's kind of down there in that bottom third with us, I think anything can happen with a lot of these games. So it could be South Dakota again, could be North Dakota, could it be Omaha? whoever. I know our team is hungry to kind of have a complete game and put 40 minutes together, and no better time than to close out the season and then get that first game, you know, in the tournament.
Absolutely. All right, folks, that's Dosha Woods of Denver Women's Basketball. You can catch the Pios tomorrow night in Brookings and Saturday in Vermilion. Coach, thanks for being here, and I will see you in like a week or something.
Yes, thank you. Go Pios.
Welcome back, basketball fans. We have your second interview of the week, and one I'm sure a lot of you are excited about, and that's USD's head coach, Carrie Amy. Coach, welcome to your first Reaching the Summit podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Of course. Well, first, we just want to get your overall take on Summit League basketball. Is it what you expected when you took the job?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Summit League is something that's been pretty familiar to me for quite a while. You know, working in Nebraska for so long, being from Nebraska, I've followed the Summit League for a long time. So I've been familiar with it, but now being in it, two things. I think one, a lot of passionate fan bases in the Summit League, which has been, you know, really refreshing and just to see a league that cares so much about women's basketball and to be a part of that. And then the second thing is I think it's a really good league. You know, obviously, South Dakota State has been kind of at the top for a while now. But there's several programs that have really, you know, made some significant strides and are you know, kind of finding their way in the league and making it, you know, super competitive. Lots of great players, lots of great coaches.
And we've heard Madison, I've heard that a lot the last few years, several years of some other folks being like, oh, the league is down, you know, just because SDSU and USD are always, you know, it's like the league is down and down. There's so much parity in it. And like, I feel, this is my opinion, every year it just gets better. The student athletes are better. Programs are better. Like there's just better talent each year. And this year you see there's a lot of at the top of the league standings right now. Like those are four or five really good teams.
Yeah. I mean, you know, ORU, they have a ton of talent. You know, NDSU has made some significant strides. Those are two coaches that I'm really familiar with. We all coached in the same region. Jory and I actually coached in the same conference in the MIAA in Division II. So both Kelsey and Jory, you know, have done a great job of building those programs into really competitive, you know, teams, and they have some great players. And, you know, St. Thomas is obviously, you know, really over the last 4 years made the jump from Division III to Division I. And you know, they obviously are highly competitive in the league. And you just go down the list and, like you said, there's a lot of really great players, and coaches are doing a really good job.
Absolutely. What have been the biggest challenges this season, and then also the biggest things that you think have gone well for you?
I think, you know, the biggest challenge is just when you take over a new program, you know, the familiarization with the players, you know, this group in particular has had three coaches, kind of four, because, you know, Kayla had a leave of absence last year, maternity leave, right? So, you know, Mike Jewett was coaching them for a while there. So they've had four coaches in 3 years, and, you know, that's a lot. And, you know, I've been impressed with their coachability, their willingness to kind of, you know, try to learn another new philosophy, in a short amount of time. And, you know, I think that's the biggest challenge is, you know, the process, right, that you go through with a new program, but also, kind of what they've been through over the course of the last several years, kind of changes the dynamic a little bit. But like I said, really, really impressed with their willingness to kind of jump on board and try to do whatever it is that you're asking them to do. It's a great group of kids. They, you know, high character kids who work really hard and like I said, are really coachable. So that's the biggest challenge. The other part of your question was about,
Things that have gone well, things that you're proud of.
Things that have gone well. Well, I mean, I think, like I said, considering the challenges, right? The group of young women, they're incredible people. They've been super coachable and willing to do what we ask. You know, I think having the opportunity to coach, you know, players like Grace, who, you know, obviously she probably had some opportunities to make a change after, you know, the last coaching change. And so, you know, she's a Yote through and through, and stayed committed to this program throughout her career, even though there's been a lot of change and transitioning, and you know, to have the opportunity to coach her and to kind of experience some of the accomplishments that she's had over the course of her career, but it's in particular this year, 2000 point scorer. She's leading the conference in points, rebounds, assists. I think she's third or fourth. I think she's fourth in steals, but it's 0.1% away from the top, which is two, and she's averaging 1.9. So, you know, you don't get to coach players like that very often. So you really, you know, you take it in, and I've learned over the course of my coaching career that you got to enjoy having the opportunity to coach players like her.
Absolutely. I love that you brought her up, because we were going there in a hot second. That was one of our next questions. But yeah, I was looking through stats this morning. You want to talk about the Grace Larkins, but I'm always looking for other players to talk about. And I was like, well, let me check rebounds, Grace. Let me check this, Grace. I'm like, it's all Grace. And the girl has like 870 career rebounds or something, almost 900. Over 600 of them are defensive. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's outrageous what she does on both sides of the ball. And I've been known to say this about USD players like Hannah Shervin and whoever in the past, but cannot wait until Grace graduates. Can't wait to see her go. Love to watch her play. Can't wait.
I think everyone's kind of double checking to make sure, is she actually done, or is there another?
I wish she had more time. But no, this is her last year of eligibility. She was accepted into law school here. You know, she's going to continue to continue her education and you know, get her law degree. Yeah, I mean, that's what's incredible. You know, I know there's always this debate about, you know, well, she scores a lot of points because she takes a lot of shots. But like, you know, there's very few players who can do what she does from a whole big picture perspective. I mean, you want to talk about versatility, right? Like, her rebounding, right? Her assists, steals, like, she does it all. And I've said this multiple times, probably every interview I've had this year, but like, her motor is unreal. You know, she's played a ton of minutes. I think somebody calculated the other day that she's maybe played four or five more games than a lot of the like starters on other teams, just because of the bulk of minutes that she plays. And there's one thing to like play a lot of minutes. There's another thing to be like extremely productive in the minutes that you play. And she's just a complete stat stuffer. You know, when you're asking her to, you know, attack the rim as much as we ask her to do that, that takes a lot of energy. And then you're asking her to, like, you know, go get a ton of defensive rebounds and, you know, try to get as many offensive rebounds as you can. And, you know, try to go, you know, make plays defensively and get some deflections and some steals. And by the way, make everybody around you better by being able to pass the ball and find open players and do all the things, right? So she handles that pressure extremely well. You know, there's so many games where I know the look of exhaustion on her face and just by her body language. And I know she's exhausted and she just keeps going. because she's so competitive and she's just like so locked in on what can I do to try to help my team be successful.
And it's more than the stat stuffing. It's you're 100% right, coach. It's the work ethic that comes along with it. We've had a lot of great players at USD. Hard pressed to find someone on both ends of the floor that works as hard. Yep. She just wants the ball. Like whether it's, you're right, rebounding, steals, what have you. And so my question was going to be about like coaching Grace, but I'm thinking more X's and O's here with you and your coaching staff. Have you had to, or did you have to kind of adjust any philosophy, offensive, defensively, because of Grace, or was it kind of a great relationship that you noticed like, hey, this is really going to work?
You know, I think a couple of things. I think offensively, I kind of pride myself on being able to be flexible, you know, because a lot of people will ask you all the time about like, what's your style? Like, you know, how are you going to play? And I think offensively, especially, you have to be flexible and you have to be able to like evaluate what does your team do well? What do the players, your personnel, you know, what are their strengths, and then be able to put them in situations where they can be successful. You know, and I think because Grace does have the ball in her hands so much that you know, I think we did, you know, adjust some things to be able to accommodate that. You know, it'd be one thing if she just did that and wasn't very productive in it, but she's really, really productive, with the ball in her hands. And so being able to find ways and maybe structure the offense a little bit for her to be able to do what she does, obviously, you know, was important for our team to be successful. And also I think has contributed to some of, you know, her being able to do what she does so well, so often. But you know, as coaches, you should never take credit for what she's able to accomplish, because, you know, again, it goes back to that like ability to continue to play extremely hard, even when it's uncomfortable, is a trait that very few players have.
Coach, the St. Thomas game last week was really close right up until the end. Honestly, I was nervous watching it. I did not know what was going to happen. What is your perspective on the last few minutes of that game?
Well, I mean, I think a couple of things. I think obviously early on we shot it really, really well and got off to a great start in the first half. You know, I think in the second half they made a pretty good adjustment. They put a different kid on Grace. They put number 4 on Grace, good athlete. You know, and it changed what she was able to create. They also brought a lot of bodies to her, which is something we see pretty much every game now. So, you know, I think it comes down to, you know, I think if we're just being like really just simplifying it, right, they were able to convert and make some plays on offense. And we had some opportunities. I thought we had a couple like really good looks, layups, you know, that we missed, or wide open, you know, threes that I thought were good looks that maybe we just didn't knock down. You know, so kind of that's what happens right at the end of games is like, you know, you only have so many possessions left in the game. Every single one of those possessions really matters, right? You either score and get a stop, right? Or you don't score and then you need to get a stop. And those two things just did not happen, you know, in the way that we needed them to. Either we needed to buckle down and be able to get some stops when we weren't able to finish our own shots and convert on the offensive end, or, you know, score with them. And, you know, that's the game winning time, right? Late in the game. And you know, I feel like if we could have kind of kept the momentum in that early third, it would have made a difference. You know, they came out and they just scored, you know, hit a three, hit a layup, right? All of a sudden the lead went from 10 to 3, like in the blink of an eye. You know, and we've struggled with that a little bit You know, in the last three or four games, that's happened to us, you know, more than once, where come out of halftime and struggle with the adjustment, whatever that might be, you know, that the other team made.
Especially when they're good looks too, that can get really frustrating. It's just like, can we get one to drop here, right? And it might cause one to maybe get so frustrated that they break a clipboard, which is an excellent segue into my fun question. Have you ever broken a clipboard in practice or in a game?
I have not. I've not broken one. I've definitely, you know, had some pens, markers fly out of my hands at some points in time, or like smash the pen onto the clipboard and that marker no longer works, things like that. But I've never actually, like, you know, broken one over my knee, or, you know, smashed one into the ground and broken it by any means. But I have kicked a trash can or two. You know, I think this is my 13th year as a head coach. My first 5 years were pretty intense. Lots of, you know, arguing with the refs, lots of, you know, outbursts, I think. And then I think as you know, are a head coach for longer, you realize like what's actually helpful and what's not, both to your team and with the refs and those sorts of things.
So you could have been Omaha men's basketball before.
I was going to say, that's a tradition.
Maybe. I don't know about that kind of stuff. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't kicking trash cans for celebration by any means. It was more of like on my way out of the gym at halftime.
Oh, that's fair.
One story in particular, like we just gave up a three, like helped ball side corner, you know, kick right. And it happened right in front of me. And I was just like so upset that like there was still like, I don't know, 7 seconds in the half, and I just started walking to the locker room and just like kicked the trash can on the way out, and I didn't realize my team was like right behind me. So, you know, it's kind of one of those.
You grow from it, right?
Right.
Say last one for me. Who gets the bigger TV for reviewing game film at home, you or Devin?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I just watch on my laptop because I'm like simple. That guy, he's created like his own little office in our like living room downstairs, right? So he's got multiple screens, you know, going on, and so yeah, he's way more high maintenance than I am when it comes to the film watching experience, for sure.
It sounds like me when I'm on a year, maybe not so much this year, but like last year, there was anyone could have gotten the 2, 3, or 4 seed. Anyone could have gotten the 5, 6, or 7 seed. And I've got like my iPad, my laptop. I'm doing math. I don't do math, but I'm like,
there's a website you can use that will like give you all the breakdown of the bracket. Like what could happen? I'll have to look
it
up.
Send that my way. Yeah,
I should. Yeah.
I don't want to think. I want it to just be in front
right.
of me.
Yeah. I think our assistants looked that up too at some point. But yeah, last week in particular was like lots of things could have happened. You know, I think there's less opportunities now for as much movement, but still some possibility, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. I think last year and the year before, it was literally down to the last two games.
Really?
Where like the one was locked mm-hmm. in, the nine was locked in, everything in the middle was up to whatever happened. Yeah.
That's that parody you were talking about, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. We love the chaos. Mm-hmm. All right, coach, last question. What would you like to see from your team to close out the regular season and then heading into Sioux Falls?
You know, I think for us, it's we've struggled in the last few games to put together 40 really good minutes. So I think for us, it's, you know, can we play 40 really good minutes on both ends of the floor, you know, and use that kind of as momentum going into the tournament. You know, obviously we have senior day in our last home game here. I think it'd be, you know, great to be able to send Grace and Soph and Dara and Lex out with a win, of course, but also want to be playing, you know, complete what we feel like is a complete game as we get into the Summit League tournament, because obviously, you know, you're gonna have to play really well there, and you're gonna have to play four quarters of really good basketball to win a game in the Summit League tournament for sure.
All right, listeners, that's Carrie Amy of USD. The Yotes host Denver on Saturday at 1 for Senior Day at the SCSC. You can catch that on the Summit League Network. Coach, good luck on Saturday, and thanks for being here. And we'll see you in Sioux Falls very soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Welcome back to Reaching the Summit Women's Basketball Podcast. We hope you had as much fun listening to those interviews as we did doing them. Always great to have Dosha on the show. She's a great friend. She's a lot of fun. And she keeps it real. I feel like I can ask her anything and she'll keep it real. And I like that. And having Carrie Amy on the show for the first time is always fun. It's always fun to get a new coach and kind of learn a little bit about them and their style and also their interview style. It's always nerve-wracking interviewing a new coach, I think, because I never know how it's going to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I didn't know she had such an angry past start her coaching career.
A trash can. Pretty intense, she says.
I'd welcome that back. I'm fine with emotions. Let's do it.
I will say, I think one thing that, in my opinion, was maybe lost a little bit in our rivalry with when Kayla was coach is that she just wasn't Dawn. Like, a lot of us would look at Dawn and just be annoyed. That's how intense the rivalry was. Mm-hmm. And for me at least personally, it wasn't like that with Kayla, and it's not like that with Carrie.
Yeah, Amy had the heel stomp. Dawn just had the look that could kill.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Coach K, yeah, I would agree.
I think that's the only thing that's been different about the rivalry now is, like, even because whether you guys are good or not, if Dawn was there, it was just, like, she just had a look. She was so intense. And I respect the hell out of her for it. I loved her for mm-hmm. it. Was scared crapless the first time I interviewed her, for sure. I did not know how that was going to go. I was so nervous. But no, she's great. I love Dawn. All right. We need to preview what is happening tonight. ORU St. Thomas, 7 p.m. in St. Paul. I need to just look really quickly what happened the last time these teams played. And I'm sorry that I don't have that pulled up.
And we never have it pulled up. That's part of the magic. We just, the awkward silence. This isn't radio. We can have dead air. I'm fine with that.
We can have dead air. I used to cut all the dead air out, and then I just got lazy and stopped caring. Why?
Got it.
Why can't I find it?
Close. January 16th. Really close game.
All right. That's right. 3-point game. So here's my thinking. I think St. Thomas plays well at home, close game or not. I think if they could have a 3-point game with ORU in Tulsa, they could have a 3-point game that goes the other way here.
What fan base wants us to predict their team to win? Because whatever we do, it's going to happen the opposite way. So
yeah, absolutely. Everything we say has been proven null and void.
Because they're both hot. 7-3 for St. Thomas the last 10 games. ORU is 9-1. They're both playing great basketball right now.
Yeah. St. Thomas is – hold on. I got to pull the schedule back up. I don't have that website yet that Coach Amy talked about that would tell me all the scenarios. NDSU has 2 games left. They may lose one. I highly doubt it. I really doubt that they would lose both. Mm-hmm. However, if they did, if NDSU lost both and St. Thomas split, that would put St. Thomas at 9-7 and NDSU at 9-7. And then we would need a tiebreaker.
Is that head-to-head? The first yes, one?
Yes, head-to-head first. So if we look at that, there is 2 NDSU wins. So NDSU actually is locked in at 3 seed, right? Doesn't matter.
If, yeah, as long as they don't lose two and St. Thomas wins two.
Oh, true. If St.
Or as long as they don't tie. Sorry. As long as they don't tie. Which, yeah. Okay. Never mind. If NDSU loses both, St. Thomas wins both, that's the only way St. Thomas can jump.
Can get the three seed. Yep. So probably pretty likely that NDSU.
Pretty locked in at that three seed.
Gets the three seed. So ORU St. Thomas tonight at 7 in St. Paul. Tomorrow, Denver at SDSU. There is no time for this on the Summit League website. I assume 7 p.m., but the time box is empty, so you'll have to do your own research on that one. But it will be on Midcoast Sports as well as the Summit League Network. Also tomorrow, Kansas City at NDSU and Omaha at UND, both of those at 7 p.m.
That Omaha, like, I know we're going to talk about it here with USD as well, but the Omaha games, if you're a Coyote fan, need to be paying attention, because if Omaha, let's see here, Omaha is a half game back of USD. So if Omaha somehow wins their last two and then USD drops the last game, USD is playing in the play-in game on Wednesday.
Yeah, because USD only has one game left. So if Omaha wins two, they can jump them, do a little leapfroggy. My brain right now is, I'm tanked. I've barely slept in like 4 days. School's kicking my tush. I had to put my doggy to sleep, which I know I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
He was so sick and old, but it was very sad. And now my apartment is just quiet and dark. And this morning I got up and I took a shower and I came out of the shower and I saw that her water bowl was empty. And I kid you not, I literally picked it up to go fill it. And then I was like, oh, wait. Yeah, I'm going through it. I'm going through it. So processing. So cut me some slack. Okay, Saturday, Omaha at NDSU, 1 p.m., WDAY Extra, Summit League Network. Kansas City at UND, 1 p.m., Summit League Network. Denver at USD, 1 p.m., Summit League Network. That is senior day for the Yotes. I don't know if NDSU and UND have had their senior day yet, if they're also doing it on Saturday. I'm not sure. And then St. Thomas at SDSU, 2 p.m. on the Summit League Network. That's what we've got to close out the season.
That's it.
And then after that, we'll be at the Denny for – why does this – oh, I see. Okay, this is the women's bracket. Yeah, the 8-9 game will be at 4:30 on Wednesday.
I can't believe it. So here's what we know. I know there's tiebreaker scenarios that some of you could probably be like, oh, no, this is – these teams are also locked. Just looking at the general standings, State SDSU is locked in at the 1, ORU at the 2, NDSU more than likely at the 3, St. Thomas more than likely at the 4, and then between Kansas City, UND, USD, and Omaha, I have no idea, maybe a couple shufflings through there, and then Denver's locked in at the 9. So 5 through 8 is kind of, maybe there's potential. We'll know more at the end of tonight, even more at the end of
tomorrow. Yeah. I think tomorrow we'll be able to make more
for sure.
More for sures. So
yeah, I don't see a matchup that's like for sure gonna happen as of now before the last games.
Also, just want to point out, if Wednesday is the Denver Omaha, I know Omaha usually brings fans, brings their band. Like, Omaha's pretty good. And obviously Denver's far. But for those of you in the Dakotas area, if you've got all session tickets and you've taken the time off, come to that game. Like, mm-hmm. It's still good basketball, even if it's not your team, even though it's the 8-9. Those teams are very familiar with each other. I feel like they usually split every season. Denver win one, Omaha win one.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's still going to be a good game. And they're both going to be fighting for something. So, and we've seen Omaha end up in the championship game before.
And it's tournament basketball. We've been in there, you know, when it's packed, when it's half full, when it's wish you could have more people in there. And it's still a fun environment. Like, it's just something about during the work week, like you can be in there and enjoy tournament basketball. It's a top-notch facility. It's run by top-notch people. It's just great. So if you can get there, go support.
Yeah. What would you rather be doing at 4:30 on Wednesday?
Not much. Not this time of year.
Exactly. Exactly. Even if your beer is $9 or whatever it is, which by the way, I just have to rant. I was talking to my grandma. I don't know if I've said this recently. I was talking to her a couple weeks ago, and there's a steakhouse in here on South Dakota that my family loves called Primetime. And I finally get to go because I'm going to be home next Monday for Margarita Monday. And it's like every time I call home, not every time, but it seems like often, I mean, they'll go 5-6 times a year because they always go for someone's birthday or whatever. They'll just wait till the Monday and go for Margarita Monday and celebrate whatever occasion. So it seems like I'm always calling home and being like, oh, grandpa, what'd you do last week? Or grandma, what'd you do? Whatever. And they're always like, oh, we went up to Primetime, and I never get to go, right? Because I'm here. Well, I finally get to go next Monday. And I was talking to my grandma, and she was like, last time we went, that filet used to be $12 and now it's $14.95. And I was like, grandma, in Ohio, I can't find a filet for less than like $22. So literally take your smell. Like, I'm so excited to come back to South Dakota and pay South Dakota prices for things, because Ohio prices are like, even gas. My grandpa was talking about, he was like, oh yeah, just a couple weeks ago, gas was like $2.59 or something. And I was like, but I haven't seen it under $3 in, I can't tell you how long. I did just pay $2.87 the other day, so I was feeling pretty good about that. But
yeah, I can't. Yeah, I was actually in, where the heck was I? I think it was in Vermilion not too long ago. And after a meeting, just had a beer over at Leo's, and it was $2. I miss those prices. You can't get that in Sioux Falls unless you go to a dive bar, which I love. But
the comedy club that I frequent, they have $2 Hams beer. I've never had Hams beer. I don't think I want Hams beer. But at the beginning, they're always saying announcements. They're like, $2 beer. And they're like, it's Hams, but it's $2 beer. And I think that's relevant. Like, if it's $2, there's three good kinds of beer, right? Free, cold, and discounted.
Yeah. Tell you what, every time I go to Shenanigans, I love the place. But you get what you pay for. Those tall beers are like half-gallon jugs. It's insane.
Dang.
They're not, but they're massive. And I always forget that when ordering one. I'm like, ooh, I should have just got regular, because that's a lot of beer for a 4:30 on a Wednesday.
Are we gonna frequent the Crooked Pint after games this year?
We sure can. I gotta look at the schedule. With the like shift in the days, I gotta just make sure I can be gone. As long as
they'll survive without you. All right, let's get out of here before Jordan's laptop dies.
8%. We could go a little longer here. We got 8% left.
I want to eat lunch. I'm hungry.
That's fair.
All right, we'll see you next week.
See you guys.